Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link also at thetrumpet.com, and our podcasts are available there and wherever you like to get your podcasts. I'd like to start today with some important history that is recorded in the Bible, and we're writing about that history in our correspondence course. This is from Correspondence Course Lesson 29, and our free college Bible correspondence course is available to anyone who'd like to sign up for it, and again, it is free of charge. It's an educational service, and it's at thetrumpet.com. You can sign up there for it. But this quote says, "The first Passover was observed by the ancient Israelites just before their exodus from Egypt. They had been in Egypt for about 2 centuries before God freed them from slavery through a series of plagues inflicted on their Egyptian captors. The 10th and last plague was death for every firstborn in Egypt, but none of the Israelites were harmed. God, through Moses, had instructed every Israelite family in Egypt to sacrifice a lamb and smear some of its blood on the doorposts of their houses. On the night this was done, the death angel passed over every house marked with lamb's blood. God protected the ancient Israelites from physical death through the blood of these lambs, and this was symbolic of the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God." You can read that in John 1 and verse 29. "That blood, which would be shed much later, to protect mankind from the penalty of eternal death." It's amazing history when we look at Passover and the way that it was done in ancient Israel, and then, of course, the meaning for today, those lambs picturing the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of this history here in Exodus 12. We have a few passages to look at today, so if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out, and we could go over some of these scriptures together. Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So this is different than the way people think about New Year's today. Of course, they think about it being in the dead of winter, but really, the year begins in the springtime. And Exodus 13 and verse 4 shows that the name of this first month is Abib. Now notice verse 3 of Exodus 12. It says, "Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Down in verse 5 it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." So the Israelites' lambs were prophetic of Christ, our Savior, that lamb that was to come. He was sinless. He was without spiritual blemish or spot. He was perfect. And so what ancient Israel was doing all those years ago was picturing Jesus Christ and the fact that he was going to come and be this perfect sacrificial lamb. Notice 1 Peter. Let's look at a scripture here in 1 Peter. We'll come back to Exodus if you'd like to hold your place there in Exodus 12. But here in 1 Peter, notice verses 18 and 19 of chapter 1. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So when we put the scriptures together, it's clear, you know, that that lamb, the Passover lamb, of course, there were quite a few of them there in ancient Israel, but they were picturing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so it takes the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it's the most precious blood, as we read there. It takes that to redeem us, to pay the penalty for our repented of spiritual sins. You know, we have to be forgiven, and There has to be a penalty paid for us to be forgiven, and Christ's blood was shed for that purpose. Notice Exodus 12 again in verse 6. It says, "And you shall keep it," talking about this lamb, "up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." So there were some specific instructions given here to Israel. Notice this quote from Lesson 19 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "The Hebrew from which in the evening is translated literally means between the two evenings." And you can see that in the margin of most King James Bibles. It says, from the Jewish Encyclopedia, we find that between the two evenings is the twilight period between the time the sun goes down over the horizon, when the new day commences, and the darkness when the stars are out. You know, we experience that every day where there's that little time period there, that little window. It says the first evening is when the sun goes over the horizon and the new day begins, and the second evening is when it becomes dark and the stars are visible. The Jewish Publication Society translates this phrase "at dusk" and "at twilight." And so the lamb was killed just after sunset in the very beginning of the 14th of Abib. So we know exactly when that happened. The Bible is clear on the timing of that. Notice verse 46 here of Exodus 12. It says, "In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof." So again, this is very prophetic, very significant. The Israelites were not to break a single bone of the lamb when roasting it. And this too was symbolic of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. He was crucified, but none of his bones were broken. And just to hold your place here in Exodus 12 and notice John 19, just to see this in the Bible, John 19 and verse 36, talking about Christ's crucifixion. And it says, "For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." So Israel was going through this Passover ceremony, and it was foreshadowing Jesus Christ's sacrifice and what he was going to go through. You know, he was perfect. He was without blemish, and he did not have a bone broken, even though he was crucified and sacrificed. So, you know, Israel, they were going through the process at the time and understanding it to an extent, but there was much more depth and understanding to it that we see today. Notice Exodus 12 and verse 12. Exodus 12 and verse 12, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Eternal." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So, you know, of course, they were very serious, I think, about making sure they followed that instruction, knowing what was going to happen that evening, knowing that there was going to be death. And if people didn't have the blood in the right location, there would be death of the firstborn. God said he was going to pass through, smite the Egyptians, but he would pass over the places where he saw the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts. He was going to pass over the door, and those people inside would be safe. You know, so if you knew that was going to happen, you'd be pretty specific about following the instructions. You know, I would be too, because of how imminent the danger was, how serious it was. And there was a lot of misery and a lot of suffering that night. And so people experienced quite a bit of suffering, and also those that were protected, a lot of relief and a lot of thankfulness that they were saved from that terrible plague that came through. This is a quote again from Lesson 19 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "The Israelites' firstborn were protected from the plague of death by the blood of the lambs that had been applied to the doorposts of their houses. It was a token or a sign showing that the household was to be spared." And so it is today that those who come under the blood of Christ, our Passover lamb, who was sacrificed for us, are protected from the penalty of eternal death. I mean, the symbolism is amazing. It's amazing to think about that. And again, how ancient Israel was going through that Passover process in their day, and it was very important for them at that moment. But then there's all this other meaning as well that we understand now. And it has a lot more than just dealing with physical life and death. We're talking about spiritual life and death, eternal life and death. Notice 1 Corinthians 5. Again, we'll come back to Exodus 12, but we'll look at 1 Corinthians 5 here for a moment. And verse 7, it says, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." See, Christ is our Passover. He's sacrificed for us. He's that sacrificial lamb. And just like ancient Israel needed that blood to protect them and to, spare them, we need that blood to spare us as well and protect us from eternal death, because Christ paid the penalty for sins. Now, again, as it says there in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, as we read, well, what do we have to do? What's our responsibility? Well, it's to purge out, therefore, the old leaven, get rid of the sin. And that's why, of course, Passover leads right into the days of unleavened bread. For those that understand that, and eventually everyone will, we all need to understand and keep these holy days. We have a booklet on that topic, Pagan Holidays Are God's Holy Days, Which? That's at thetrumpet.com. It's free. It's an educational service. It's really important to read it. The world's got a lot of ideas about their days they keep, but when we look at the Bible, we see Passover, we see the days of unleavened bread, in the springtime, and we need to be keeping those. It's vitally important. Purge out that old leaven, get rid of it, be unleavened, get rid of sin, because why? Well, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We want that sacrifice. We want to be forgiven, but we have to move forward and sin no more, as Christ said. Lesson 19 of the Correspondence Course, it says, God had the nation of Israel act out beforehand the exact type of Christ, the Lamb of God, Christ our Passover, who would come nearly 1,500 years later to shed his blood, giving his perfect, sinless life as a sacrifice to pay the penalty of our transgressions of God's law. Though the Israelites did not know it at the time, every detail of the Old Testament Passover pointed to Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he would make. So it's amazing to think about how deep and intricate God's thinking is and his mind is, where he can have this plan and it's important in the moment, but then it has these meanings for later. It's a master plan. And we understand it because of God's holy days. Notice Exodus 12 again. Exodus 12, and again, we want to keep the holy days because we want to understand God's plan. If we don't keep those days, we're going to be lost and not know what's going on. And it's a pretty chaotic world, as I'm sure you've noticed. And so it's easy to get lost in it and not understand what's happening. When we see and understand and keep God's holy days, we keep that plan of God right at the forefront of our minds. And God can teach us more and more about his plan and his truth. Exodus 12, verses 23 and 24. It says, "For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over. The Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever." Lesson 29 of the Correspondence Course says, "Before making his covenant with the Israelites at Mount Sinai, God commanded them to keep the Passover forever, not just until Christ's death." See, just because Christ was crucified doesn't mean the Passover is not to be kept. It's to be kept. But we have more understanding about it today and look at it in terms of Christ's sacrifice. It says, God commanded them to keep the Passover forever, as we just read, not just until Christ's death, which ended that covenant. When God declares a law to be everlasting, he means it. No authorization from God was ever given to cease observing this tremendously important festival. From its first institution in Egypt, the Passover became a yearly memorial of the Eternal's passing over the Israelites and sparing their firstborn from death. But the Passover also looked forward to the time when the Savior of all humanity would come to shed his blood, paying the penalty of human sin in full by his sacrifice, thus making possible the remission of our sins upon repentance and baptism. We don't want to miss out on the Passover. We need the Passover. It's such an important day to understand what Jesus Christ went through, to make sure that we are keeping that day as we should. And for those, of course, that are called and are repentant and are baptized, then they're able to keep the Passover. And that's such an important service every single year. I mean, we're looking at Jesus Christ, the Savior of all humanity, shed his blood, paying the penalty of human sin in full by a sacrifice. And that makes possible the remission of our sins upon repentance and baptism. It's an amazing picture. It's something that we need. And you think about those ancient Israelites, you know, they knew if they didn't follow God's instructions about what to do with the Passover lamb, they would have death in that house. Well, it's very much the same today. We need to follow God's instructions because eternal life and eternal death does hang in the balance. If you'd like to learn more about Passover, you can study this lesson 29 from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, free at thetrumpet.com, and also our free booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which that's a very important booklet to look at. Also, to learn more about Passover and the importance of it to all of us. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.